Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 25. And hear then the word of the Lord. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Then Peter saw him and he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If you want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. You know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we open up your word, may the thoughts and meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. And Father, what is not of you, may we not remember, but what is of you, may we take it to heart and be transformed by your word. Your servant is listening. May he glorify you, and may he be your herald proclaiming what you want us to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we finally come to the end of the book of John. Some of you are wondering, why didn't I cover the resurrection and the death of Jesus? We covered that during Good Friday and Easter season, and so no need to be redundant. Now we're coming to the last chapter of John. As you know, the theme of John's book is so that you might believe. And so as John is concluding this book, we come to Jesus' encounter with Peter. And so we need to ask the question, why is John mentioning about Jesus' encounter with Peter? If you look at the whole text and toward the end, the purpose of this is to really bring out how Jesus is interested in bringing forth a calling in our hearts. Peter, who betrayed Jesus three times, through this experience, through this encounter with Jesus, will be restored. And Jesus begins with Peter because he is one of the influencers. It's more or less, when you watch YouTube video, there's a term, what we call social influencers. Peter is an influencer among his peers, among Jesus' disciples. And he has a great influence on his peers. And in a way, John is giving an account of Jesus restoring Peter in his relationship with him. But it's also a way that Jesus is using Peter as a model of restoring all the disciples in their relationship with him. Because when Jesus was on the cross, most of them all disappeared, except for John and Mary, who was by the cross. And Jesus is in the process of restoring their relationship with him. And so to understand this context much better, Jesus appears to the disciples several times. This incident is the third time that Jesus appears to his disciples. The second time when he appeared to the disciples, what Jesus instructed in Matthew chapter 28 was for them to go to Galilee. So verse 10 says this, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" And so his instruction to Peter and everyone was, go to Galilee, wait for me. So they go to Galilee, but something happens. I think the disciples, even though they saw Jesus resurrect from the dead, and they saw him two times, they're questioning their call, their purpose in life. And as we know, many of them were fishermen. And so while in Galilee, many of them had the urge to go back to their old profession. And Peter is actually, in a way, not obeying the Lord. Instead of waiting for the Lord, he and his fellow disciples, Jesus' disciples, go to the boat to fish. And what's interesting is Jesus sees them, and he tells them, instead of condemning them, why don't you cast the net on the other side? And when they cast it, they get a whole boatload of fish. And when Peter realizes it's the Lord, he rushes to Jesus in enthusiasm. And the disciples are following him behind to see Jesus and meet Jesus. And so in this process, what Jesus is going to do is he's going to use Peter as a catalyst to bring others to follow Jesus. And the reason why Jesus is choosing Peter is, in a way, we can identify with him. We are sometimes over-enthusiastic for the Lord. We share about our commitment to the Lord. And many times we underestimate ourselves and underestimate how easily we can fall into temptation. And Jesus has chosen him to restore him. And the disciples are right now in a wishy-washy situation. And the question is, do I go back to what I used to do as a fisherman, or do I commit to a new calling that the Lord is calling us after his resurrection? And Jesus knows this. And what he's going to do is going to really encounter Peter in restoring him, redirecting him to do the work of God. And so what he does is this, three things that I want to go over with you today. He calls Peter, as well with us, to love him. He calls us to sacrifice our lives for Jesus, and he calls us to be faithful to him. And this is the way he's restoring, he's restructuring, he's repositioning Peter and the disciples to do the Great Commission, the work of God. That's mentioned in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, go therefore to the ends of the world, proclaiming the gospel. How he's going to do that? He's going to win them over and lead them to restoration so they can be that instrument of what Jesus calls them to do. So the first step is a call to love Jesus. If you are ever called to love Jesus, there needs to be motivation. And the motivation is to love God. And what would cause people to love Jesus? Why would people want to abandon their ambition, desire, control, and even die for Christ? What would compel Peter to die for Christ in the end? It all begins with people experiencing the love Jesus has for them. Once you experience his love for you, once you experience his powerful, emotional love for us, and understand his undying love, that Jesus, what's interesting is he never condemns Peter. Jesus knows that because he loves him, instead of saying, why did you betray me, or even the disciples, because he loves them so much, he's focused on winning them over in a love relationship. And he knows, and this is true, when you are in love for someone, you'll do anything. That's what human relationships are about. When you love someone, you'll do anything. And even a cause, people are willing to risk their lives for a cause. You know, I was watching cable TV this week. I think it was called Animal Kingdom. And they had this special show about this boat that would go and stop whalers. And they would send out small, fast boats to be in the way of whalers who would use harpoons to kill whales. And during this documentary, the team was asked, why do you do this? Why are you risking your life? And their answer was, we love nature, we want to preserve whales, and we're willing to risk it, and it's worth it. So if you love something, if you have this desire, you'll do anything. And Jesus knew that. And what Jesus wanted to do was affirm his love for Peter and the disciples. And that's the process he begins. The motive of him dying on the cross is because he loves us. If you look at John chapter 15, he says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus called them friends. And 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, for Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore he died. One commentator wrote it this way, Jesus' love constrains us, motivates us, drives us. When you follow your love, you follow the things that you love, you follow things in life, whatever they be, even objects that you love, experiences that you love, as well as people that you love. So basically, the love, God's love controls us. It is powerful. It is a motivator for us to do things for God. So being a Christian is not ritualistic. Being a Christian is, I do this because I love the Lord. In fact, some of us think the Old Testament is nothing but laws that we cannot follow. Actually, God showed us that we cannot always follow love. But behind the laws that God asked us to follow, the motive was because I love. And in fact, Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40 summarizes the Old Testament. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on this commandment. And what was Jesus quoting? He was quoting the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy. And in fact, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 to 10, reiterates the importance of loving our Father. Before the people go to the promised land, the Lord speaks this way in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them down on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The Lord commands us to love Him with our hearts, minds, soul, and strength. This is the summation. This is the basis of why we do things for God. Because we're loved, we'll do anything for Jesus. And that's why John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. We're willing to keep the Lord's commands when we're loved. And one person said this way, love is the power of obedience. Love is the power of duty. Love is the power of service. Love is the power of sacrifice. Love is the power of worship. Love is the power of fellowship. Love is everything. So love is the basis. It's the motivation to follow Jesus, to even respond to the call of Jesus. And it's the basis for renewing our relationship with Jesus. And it's really interesting how Jesus renews his relationship with Peter. Instead of recommending him to go to therapy right away and spend years, instead he does it immediately through his questions. Let's look at verse 15 and 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, Jesus asked these questions three times. Why did he ask these questions three times? One of the ways that the Jewish community practiced forgiveness was to ask you three times. And so Jesus is practicing the power of forgiveness. But also, what he's really after is he wants you to follow him because you love him, and that he is the one whom you serve because you love him. And you will sacrifice everything for him because you love him, because who he is. So this is the reason why Jesus is asking this question. Because a committed Christian, and the way and the reason why he does certain things for Jesus is because he loves him. And Jesus restores Peter, his disciple. And it's going to be not based on retribution or laws or legalism, but it's going to be based on love. And when Jesus uses this question, it's what we call a method to shore up his love for him. So what kind of method does he do? First of all, it's in public. Why? 1 John says this, confess your sins to another so you'll be healed. So what Jesus is doing is he's doing publicly to heal Peter. And it's not condemning because there's no need to condemn. And he loves him so much that what Jesus is interested in is healing him to restore his love for them. And one of the ways he does it is he has a meal with them in the morning. He prepares a meal. They ate. Everyone feels accepted. You know, you wouldn't eat with somebody unless you really love them or you really welcome their presence. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing. He's welcoming their presence. And then after they eat, Jesus now gets their attention and is now in a question mood. Now, what's interesting is Jesus addresses Peter, not his God-given name, Peter, which means little rock. Instead, he addresses him, Simon, son of John. Do you love me more than this? And the question we need to ask is, why is Jesus asking Peter, Simon? Why is he using the name Simon? It's because he is asking Peter, are you really committed to me? And so when he says, do you love me more than these? What he's asking is, Simon, where's your allegiance? Because to me right now, you're Simon. You're not really Peter. And I'm going to ask you to be a Peter. So that's why Jesus is using the word Simon instead of Peter several times. So what is interesting is when Jesus says for the first time on the first question, do you love me more than this? He's using the word agapeo. One commentator wrote it this way. The word in his first question is agapeo. That's that high love, the noblest, purest, best, the love of the will. We talk about agape love. This is a noun form of it. It is love that is in fullest sense, love in its deepest sense, love in its greatest sense. Love, I guess you can say, in the purest form, divine love. So when Jesus says, Simon, do you really love me at the highest level? John Calvin wrote it this way. One man will steadily persevere in discharge of his ministry unless the love of Christ shall reign in his heart. And what Jesus is going after is, Peter, if you want to do ministry for me, your love needs to be the highest you can give to me. And how does Peter respond to Jesus' question? Do you love me enough to live for me? Do you love enough to walk away from this? So when it says these things, your distractions, are you constrained by loving me? Do you have a love for me? Do you really love me in the fullest sense? And you know, already Peter is full of shame. And he knows that he betrayed Jesus. So he cannot use the word, the highest form of love, agapeo, but he uses the second level, phileo. Phileo is kind of brotherly love, kind of warm affection, a friendship love. And Peter couldn't say, yes, you know that I love you in the highest level of love, because Peter failed Jesus before. And he can say, I can do the next level, phileo. And what Peter says is this, I have a great affection for you. It's not what it should be, but it is real. The second level, Jesus. So what does Jesus say? Tend or feed. Greek word is basko in the verb. It means pasture my lambs. Pasture my lambs. And out of love, Jesus calls him to pasture and feed his lambs. And so the reason why Jesus says his lambs is that the ultimate shepherd for all of us, the one who really takes care of us, the chief shepherd, is Jesus Christ. We are just assisting the shepherd. No pastor is the head shepherd of a church. It's Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord of our lives? It's Jesus Christ. Who is the ultimate shepherd? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We are stewards in helping Jesus to care for his sheep. One commentator wrote it this way, Peter, pasture my lambs. The most vulnerable, the most weak, the most prone to wander, the most delicate, I turn them over to you. Care for them. That's what pastoral ministry is. It's not about the world. It's not about how you handle culture. It's how you handle his sheep. If you love me, then give your life to shepherding my lambs, the most vulnerable, the most dangerous, the weakest. And so that's what he's saying, you know, feed, tend, do this for the people that are followers of me. Then again, he has a second question. And when he says, do you love me? Notice that Jesus omits the word such as this, the phrase. He says, Peter, do you love me? But he uses the same Greek word, do you agapeo me? Basically, in his own way, Peter's response is, instead of agapeo, he says, I can phileo you. That's the best I can do. And then Jesus' response was, care for my sheep. That's his calling. You're called to have then, if you can phileo me, if you can love me to the best as you can, I need your undivided attention to care for my sheep. Don't look around to the left or the right, but focus on me to care for my sheep. And so Peter probably thought that was the end of it. But again, Jesus says a third time, Simon, son of John. It's repeated three times, do you love me? I don't know about you, but if someone asks you over and over again, there's not much of a value behind it. Sometimes it's irritating. And Jesus, in a way, is irritating Jesus. He's saying, and what's interesting is when Jesus used the word love, instead of using agapeo, he uses phileo. Do you really phileo me? Do you really love me to the best as you can right now? Do you? And Jesus probes deep into Peter's heart. And he says, he's very grieved because he's not grieved because of his denials, but he's just grieved because the third time he says, do you really love me as best as you can? It's kind of questioning. And this is what we call a transforming moment where Jesus is asking Peter, it's no longer you, but do you really mean it? Do you really mean it so at the end you can really commit yourself to me and you will not deny me again? And so Peter says, you know everything, Lord. You know my heart. And what Jesus wanted to hear was Peter reiterating his commitment to him. And that's why Jesus said, feed my sheep. And this is kind of like what we call the winning over of Peter, where Peter is assured by Jesus that even though you betrayed me, even though you cannot agapeo me at this time, you're doing your best to do phileo. And because of that, I'm entrusting to you, Peter, the sheep, the people who will come to me. You are going to be the one who's going to help me to feed the sheep, tend my sheep, care for my sheep. And so Jesus wins over Peter by not condemning him, but going through these questions to bring him to the point, to the realization that the Lord, even amidst his failures, loves him and cares for him and is encouraging him to do the work of God that he predicted before he left this world. And so that's the first thing. Jesus calls us to love him dearly. And the motivation for that is because we've been loved, because we've been experienced by the love of God. We will sacrifice ourselves for him. And that's something I just want to encourage you. Whenever you're thinking through or living through modern-day living on a day-to-day basis, just keep on remembering what Jesus did for you. and how he loves us unconditionally. That is our motivation to do things for God. And that leads to sacrificial love for Christ. What's interesting is verse 18, it says, after Jesus says to him, "Feed my sheep, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to." So what Jesus is saying is, look, Peter, your life is no longer yours. When you're younger, you did whatever you wanted to. You did it, whatever. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. So what Jesus is saying is this. It's a prophetic word. He's saying, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, it's not on your terms. It's on my terms. And I will lead you accordingly to the way I want you to follow me. I remember when I graduated from seminary, I thought I would conquer the world for Jesus. But there was this nine-month period where, period of frustration where there's nothing, no job. And I remember reading this text. And this verse especially hit me hard because Jesus said to me, I never chose you to the type of ministry you wanted. You chose it, but I didn't choose you. If you want to do my ministry, do what I want you to do, and you might not like it. But this is not on your terms, but on my terms. And when I really got it, the call to ministry, when you experience the love of God, you're willing to sacrifice yourself to do whatever God wants you to do. And that's the same thing. You're called to be a Christian. It's not on your terms. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's not based on my terms, but it's based on God's terms. And if you accept that, then we need to follow him sacrificially. We need to give up ourselves. And verse 19 talks about what happens to Peter. It says, Jesus said to this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." How did Peter glorify God? You know, when he was actually the one who was prophesied to, start the church, in the book of Acts, he was the one who stood up and preached, and there was a huge number of conversion. He was considered the head of the church. Of course, Jesus is the head of the church, but the earthly apostle who would lead the church for Jesus Christ, along with the other apostles. But also, when the time came when he was ready to die, as you know, some of the apostles were crucified on the cross, and Peter happens to be one of them. He requested that he can be crucified upside down because he felt he wasn't worthy to die on the cross like Jesus. This is the way he glorified the Lord. And exactly that's what Jesus is calling us to, that once you feel love, once you experience his love, you'll willfully sacrifice your life for him because you love him. And that's what Peter experienced. And my prayer for you is for you to experience the love of Christ, the unconditional love of Christ, because it's so transforming. It's so wonderful that you will naturally want to sacrifice yourself for Jesus. And that's what Peter did. And the last thing that Jesus does is this, as he's ministering to him, verses 21, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. So the disciple whom Jesus loved is in reference to John. Apparently, Peter and John, after this questioning, were walking. I mean, Peter and Jesus, and John was following. And so what's his comment? This is the one who leaned against Jesus in the supper and said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" So when Peter saw him, John, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus' response is very interesting. And the first thing he's saying is, follow him, be faithful in following Jesus, but don't worry about what others are doing because each one of us have a different calling. All that Jesus asks us to do is focus on what he calls us to do and do it. And what does Jesus say? Verse 22-23. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that the disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you?" So it's basically what Jesus is saying is, Peter, this is none of your business. if I want him, he can live until eternity until I return. But the commentators did say that John eventually died in the island of Patmos. And what Jesus is telling Peter is, this is none of your business. Just do what I have assigned you to do. What Jesus is saying is this, follow me. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Don't ask what God has for somebody else. You just follow me wherever that leads. And for him, it's going to lead to death. What about John? It's irrelevant. If you want him to live until the second coming, what is that to you? It's none of your business. Just focus on being faithful to what I call you. And Peter, your destiny is follow my assignment. So when we become a Christian, all of us have a call in our lives. Some of us are called to the pastorate. Some of us have a large church. Some people do not have a large church. Does it really matter to Jesus? It doesn't matter. What we're designed for by God is to follow him faithfully out of our love for him. And no matter where we might be, so some of us might not be called to be a pastor. Some of us are called to the professions of academia, or some of us are into technical world. Some of us are into professions. Wherever we're called, you are an ambassador for Christ. Use those opportunities to love Jesus and to follow his call sacrificially and do what he tells you to do, wherever you're at. And it doesn't matter if you wash dishes. It doesn't matter if you drive cars. Whatever you do, you and I are called by Jesus to follow him, to share about him, and to make others known about him. You know, one of my favorite YouTube video is watching Mark Wiens. I'm pretty sure most of you know who he is. He's a foodie. He travels all over the world to eat. And he has 6.5 million subscribers. And most of his videos average about 1 million hits per video. And whenever I see him eat, oh, I do want to eat so much because I too am a foodie. But one thing interesting about Mark, I read his blog about who he is. He says this, first off, I'm a Christian and give God the glory in everything I do. He travels all over the world before the COVID epidemic. He was in Iran, Pakistan, places all over that was prohibited because of his food shows. But many have said, and he even shares it in his blogs, that he uses that opportunity to share the gospel, to share what God assigns him to do. And so you could be a YouTuber being faithful to do what God calls us to do. Our goal in life is to respond to Jesus and follow his ways and sacrifice ourselves, denying ourselves, and to be faithful in doing what Jesus calls us to do. It doesn't matter what kind of profession. Jesus will bring those opportunities, and our call is to respond to those opportunities wherever you are to proclaim Christ. Why? John's theme. So that they might believe, so that people might believe in Jesus Christ. That's our calling. And that's why we made a conscientious choice to become a believer. And when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you chose on your own to accept him. And if that is the case, follow him and do what he calls us to do in a faithful way. Deny yourself and follow him. So that's what Jesus is telling us to do, is to respond to his call sacrificially and follow him.